how to travel like a G, right? This is gonna be quick to the point, how to travel like a G, because what's gonna happen is you got your multiple passports, you got your multiple driver's licenses, you now have an income that's coming in, you can go anywhere you want, you believe you can do anything, you're now the fucking king of the world. So you're gonna go to a lot of places. I've been to 71 countries, I've been to places as crazy as Iraq, I've been to the most boring standardized places like Thailand, blah, blah, blah. I've been everywhere. Let me tell you a few travel tips. These are non-negotiable travel tips. So if I say something and you disagree with me, fuck you. Point one, you don't need checking luggage. I'm tired of seeing fucking full-grown men with big-ass suitcases checking in luggage. You don't need that much shit as a man. You really don't. And it doesn't matter how long you go away for. It doesn't matter if you go away for 2 months. It doesn't matter if you go away for 2 weeks. All hotels have laundry service. You're a fucking full-grown man. You're not a girl with shoes and designer clothes. No one gives a fuck what you really wear. You need a check-in bag. You need to stay light. You need to stay flexible. Couple pairs of trousers, couple shirts, couple pairs of shoes, some underwear, some socks. Get them washed overnight in your whichever hotel you're staying in the laundry service. If there's a real big issue and you need another t-shirt, go buy one for $15. Who gives a fuck? Done. Toiletries, once again, you can buy when you get there. I don't have toiletries in my check-in bag because I can't be asked with the fucking TSA security people tearing through my bag. I've been away for 3 months on half a backpack. I still look good every day. It's fine. Get yourself washed like you would at home. You do not need big cases of luggage. Luggage slows you down. Luggage is weight you do not need. You're a full-grown man. Check-in luggage only. If you struggle to complete this, if you're about to go on holiday, you're struggling to fit everything you really need in a check-in luggage, then you do not understand what a man really needs. You need to get more fucking brazen and more barren with your necessities in life. Toiletries you can buy when you land. You're already wearing one set of clothes when you take off. A couple other sets of clothes, a couple pairs of shoes, done. Do not check in a bag. Because one, firstly, just don't be a coward, and I said so, don't check in a bag. And two, that shit slows you down, man. The time you wait in the fucking line to check it in, then when you land, you gotta wait for the luggage to come out. I'm in and out of airports. When you fly as often as me, you gotta learn to be in and out. I turn up, my boarding pass is printed off, straight through security, bang, get on the plane, bag in the overhead, take the bag off the overhead, through passport control, out the front of the airport. I ain't waiting for no fucking luggage conveyors. I ain't waiting for them to unload no planes. Do you know, I've seen fucking, last time I was with my girl, she checked the bag in, we were going to Vilnius, Lithuania. And there was some problem unloading the plane. We're there for an hour and 15 minutes waiting for the fucking bag. I ain't got time to waste. My life is short and I'm living a good life. I ain't got time to fucking waste. Do not check in bags. That's the first thing. Second thing, if you're traveling with a female, females are slow, they're annoying, they're cumbersome. Females are not flexible. Females are not fast on their feet. If you're traveling with a female, that's fine. You have to book your hotel in advance. You have to organize everything because women have no ability to move like quickly. But if you're traveling with just your boys, the best thing you can do is fuck all that garbage off. Don't plan shit. Planning things, one, it hinders your fun. And two, flexibility is probably the largest part of this entire course. We're talking about the flexibility to do what you want, flexibility to earn how you want to earn, wear what you want, act how you want, fuck girls you want. That's what flexibility is. If I'm going to go to a country, if I'm going to go to Chile, I'm going to land in Santiago, I don't have a fucking hotel. I just fucking rock up in Santiago. I'll try and land in the middle of the day so, you know, I'm not struggling around at night. And I'll fucking go around. I'll check out the different areas of town. I'll find an area of town I like or a restaurant I like or a bar I like or whatever, whatever. I'll talk to some local people. I'll see what they recommend. Then I'll walk in there with my fucking check-in bag and book a hotel room. Because I got money in the bank anyway. It doesn't make a difference. It's no cheaper if you book it in advance. That's all garbage. If you book these fucking package holidays, yeah. But if you're just fucking going to a hotel to book it, it's no fucking difference. So fuck that shit. Stay flexible unless you're traveling with a woman. Don't ever do that shit with a woman because the woman's gonna have a big ass fucking check-in bag, fucking be getting in and out of taxis. She's gonna get all angry and moody because you're trying to ask her to move quickly because she's a stupid bitch. Females are slow, cumbersome, and annoying. So you have to understand that this is only a trip for when you're traveling with your boys. This is the next thing. Next thing. People say don't advertise your wealth if you're going to dangerous places. I wouldn't say that's necessarily true. What I'd say is just make sure that the crew you're with is a few people deep if you're gonna go to a dangerous place. I went to Iraq with about 10 guys. Yeah, an AK-47 could have killed us all, but you never know. Maybe it'd only shoot 8 of us and the other 2 could carry us out. So depending on where you're gonna go, if you're gonna really start going to crazy places, you do need to have people with you. You see some of these travel bloggers, especially the ones on Facebook, the real fucking liberal little cuck ones going, I went to Iran and it's super nice here. Yeah, but you're not a target. You're not a target as a person because you're a little tiny person spending no money, hiding in the shadows, typing away on your blog. If you're gonna do the shit I do, if you're gonna roll up and ball out and fucking try and get pussy and spend money and bop, 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 you need to make sure that you have some crew with you if you're gonna be going to these dangerous kind of places. Flying first class, people message me about flying private. I've flown private a few times. Flying private is cool. But that's a whole level of money you're probably not gonna obtain. So let's talk about flying first class. Flying first class is only worthwhile if you need to sleep when you land. Because although it seems like a lot of money to sleep, that's the only time I fly business or first class. If I know that I'm gonna spend that money, but I'm gonna have a real comfortable flight, I'm gonna sleep, I'm gonna nap, I'm gonna be in good shape, and then when I wake up at the destination, I'm ready to rock and roll. If you land at 7 a.m. at a place and you have a meeting, or you only have a few days in a place, you ain't got time to waste recovering, that's when I fly first class. Otherwise, to be honest with you, even when you're at super high income, the price for first class is very rarely worth it. That's the truth. Fly coach, what the fuck? And that doesn't mean don't take sleeping pills like a little bitch or whatever. Just fucking sit in coach. I'm 6'4". If I can sit in coach, you can sit in coach. It's not that big a deal. And you can save that money. If I fly to Thailand from Bucharest, coach, it's about 600 euro. First class is 4,000 euro. So doing with that extra 3,400 euro, that's my entire trip in Thailand for a month. I could probably make that last for a month easily. So just for the flight, I mean, unless I'm really doing like a real short term in and out, if I'm going to Monaco and I've got, Monaco's too close. If I'm going to New York and I've got an important business meeting, I'll fly first class so I can land in the morning, do the meeting, leave the same night, something like that. Otherwise, you don't need first class in general, that's a waste of time. So you have your bag, you haven't had to check it in. You're only flying first class if you really need to. Otherwise, your coach is no problem. You have two passports, you have a couple driver's licenses. Cash, people ask me if they should take a lot of cash with them. You need to mix it up. I mean, like I say, we live in a modern world. I don't really believe in the whole go into currency exchanges thing. It doesn't make sense to me. If you have $10,000 for your trip and then you go to the currency exchange and convert it to 10,000 local, then you have to worry about losing that money. You can go to any ATM in the country, wherever you are basically, and just draw money out in their local currency. Okay, is it the best possible exchange rate? No, but you get money out as and when you need it. It's better than having a whole shit ton of money sitting around. And you can only travel with a certain amount of money internationally anyway, so I'd have a little bit of cash, but in general, you can just use your card, have money, have three or four different cards, have different banks, tell the banks in advance. Be careful of where you go, obviously. Common sense shit that I don't have to fucking tell you. If you're going to a dangerous place, roll a few people deep, and then it comes to girls. That's what a lot of people who are on this course are about girls. They're saying, well, if you get girls in this country, da 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 da. Only bit of advice I'd say with girls is this. If you're going to bring a girl back to your hotel, put your shit in the safe. Simple. The number of guys I know have lost their Rolex or watch or passport. I'm like, well, where was it? They're like, in my hotel. So where's the girl? In my hotel. So just put it in the safe. Every hotel is a safe. Like, put your shit in the safe, and then you can do whatever you want. Then bang her, fall asleep. What you gonna do? Unless she's a complete psycho and she's gonna stab you in the neck. Which, you know, she wouldn't get away with that me because I'm a ninja. But for you average humans, you have to think about that shit. But in general, that ain't gonna happen. And if you're gonna get robbed, it's your own fault. I knew dudes who got robbed by some hookers in Thailand. Like, he brought hookers back to her house in Thailand and left money all over the place and just went to sleep. Like, come on, guys. Common sense. This travel tip video really is absolute common sense. The only two real tips that are actually important for traveling is one, do not check in a bag. Find a way to avoid that at all costs. That's the first thing. That's the most important thing. And two, have a couple passports with you. But that comes from the previous video. You'll see. You should always have two passports with you anywhere you are, whether you're traveling or not. I do have a couple crazy travel stories. I got kidnapped in Jamaica. I got arrested and accused of being a spy. In fact, I'll tell you the kidnapped in Jamaica story later, but for now, here's the time I was arrested and accused of being a spy in a country you've never heard of. I'm gonna do something I've yet to do on my YouTube channel, just tell you all a quick story. The first half of this story is actually all on video as part of a web series I made called The Hateful Take, which nobody watched. But I'm gonna tell you the very quick version of it. If you want more detail, I recommend you watch the video. We're gonna link it in here. Anyway, so me and my brother, we decided a long time ago that there's gonna be lots of pussy at the Eurovision Song Contest. We came to this conclusion because lots of people go there from all around the world. It's pop music, it's bullshit. We thought there'd be some hoes. So we thought, fuck it. One of these days we have to go to Eurovision. Last year it was in Kiev, Ukraine. Ukraine is some of the hottest girls in the world. So we thought, fuck it. We're gonna go to Eurovision. This is the year to do it. We're gonna go to Kiev. We decided this about 2 days before Eurovision. All the flights into Kiev were completely booked. It was extremely difficult to get into the country. So we thought, how the fuck are we gonna do this? Right now we're in Bucharest, Romania. This is my house. We look at a map, we're about 6 hours from the Moldovan border. So we thought, fuck it. We're gonna drive. We jumped in the car, started driving, got 6 hours to the border of Moldova, and they wouldn't let us through the border because we didn't know at the time. We need to have the original paperwork to go into Moldova because all the cars in Europe that are stolen end up in Moldova, so they're very strict at the borders unless you bribe them, which I tried to do and they wouldn't accept because they didn't know me.
You need to have the original document.
We can't, there's no like way we can, is there a fine or we pay a fine or a penalty? Anything we can do?
It's not about the penalty or... It's about the car that cannot leave the country.
You have to have the original paperwork. We only had photocopies of our paperwork. We don't keep the original paperwork in the car. So they wouldn't let us through. So we parked our car at a train station in a town called Iași on the border of Romania. We then went up to a taxi, said, can you take us to Chisinau, which is the capital of the neighboring country, Moldova. It's effectively being in France and saying, can you take me to Berlin, the capital of Germany? It's a long taxi drive. Finally found a guy who would do it.
What's the train?
130 euro.
Europe.
Beautiful.
For more money than we should have paid. He took us to Chisinau. When we were in Chisinau, we had to negotiate a way to Kiev. We found an overnight train and we got there. Problem is, on that overnight train, I nearly got robbed. That train is completely mafia run. That train is, you can bribe your way in and out. You don't have to show a passport. You don't have to go through customs. So all the Russian mafia who travel in and out of Romania and Moldova come in and out by train. They do not go by plane. So that's a mafia run train. And that was a very difficult and scary experience. Up until this point, all of this is recorded and part of the Hateful Tate series, which we're gonna put a link to. So feel free to watch it and find the details of me nearly getting robbed, Chisinau, the train, all that shit. So anyway, the web series ends. Eurovision's over. Me and my brother are in Ukraine. We gotta get out. So we're like, how the fuck do we get out? All the planes are booked for another week. We don't want to stay in Ukraine for another week. We don't want to take the train again because of what happened the first time. So we're like, well, you can't fly, can't take a train, can't take a boat. The only way is to drive. We gotta drive out of here somehow. So we're going from taxi driver to taxi driver to taxi driver saying, can you drive us to Romania? And it turns out that Ukrainians at the time, which has now changed, I believe, needed a visa to get into Romania. So it was very difficult to find a taxi driver with a visa who was prepared to do a fucking 18-hour drive at a whim. So we're sitting around Ukraine for 12 hours. Every taxi driver, I'm ordering Ubers. I'm calling everyone up saying, look, I need to get to Romania. I'll pay. I was offering 5-6 times the market rate. Like I was saying, look, I'm going to give you $2,000. Remember, these people make $250, $300 a month. I was offering them $2,000 for one drive. It's like, get me to fucking Romania. I've got shit to do. I've got to get out of this country. Eventually, we meet a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy. He says, I have a guy who has a visa to go into Romania, and he's a very good driver. He's an ex-rally driver, and he's going to drive you. And we're like, well, thank fuck. Let's go. So anyway, me and my brother, he said, meet us here at this time. So 11 o'clock at night, me and my brother are standing on a street corner waiting for fucking Mr. No Name to turn up in the middle of Kiev, Ukraine. It's a dangerous city. We're standing there, combat mode, obviously, chilling. The guy turns up. Now, I expected, like, ex-rally driver, some kind of super G to turn up. Some little fucking, some loser turns up. Some dude. Must have been about fucking 17. Hi. I'm like, hi, who are you? He goes, oh, I'm your driver. I thought you were a rally driver. He goes, I was a rally driver. Like, when? When you were 12? What the fuck? Since when do you drive when you're 12? Like, whatever. You got a visa? He goes, yeah, I got a visa. We're like, okay, we trust you. So anyway, Mr. 12-year-old decides to drive us. Tristan's nervous in cars. My brother's been in 4 car accidents, none of which he's been driving. He's always been the passenger in cars when cars have been wrecked. Car accidents people have died in, like big car accidents, but my brother being a Tate doesn't die easy. So he's very nervous in cars. He goes, I'm a bit nervous. It's an 18-hour car drive. We've got fucking 12-year-old driving us. There's no street lights in Ukraine. Ukraine doesn't even have 3G on the mobile phone. You have to have Wi-Fi. Even if you have a Ukrainian SIM, you can't check Facebook, Twitter, nothing. Ukraine is much poorer than Romania. I didn't expect that. Romania is a poor country. Ukraine's a fucking poor country. It's a war zone. It's a fucking war. Anyway, so there's no street lights. The roads are bad. Tristan's a bit nervous. He goes, you know what? Oh, this is going to be a long-ass drive. Let's get a bottle of vodka. I was like, all right, cool. So we go into the store. I remember this because of how cheap it was. We've got 2 Snickers bars, a bottle, 1 liter of vodka, 2 cartons of cherry juice, and a pack of peanuts for €2, including the vodka. Including a liter of vodka, €2. Fucking crazy cheap. So we buy the vodka anyways. We get in the car. We're sitting in the back of the car drinking vodka. We're driving down these roads, pitch black, can't see shit. We don't know where we are. Our 3G isn't loading on our phone, so we can't see where we are. We're just sitting in the back drinking vodka, talking shit. Mr. Rally Driver is telling us about his imaginary rally career. Motherfucker didn't even finish high school. He ain't been rallying for nobody. So we're driving. All of a sudden, me and Tristan, this is about 6 hours in. Liter of vodka's gone. So between me and T, we've had half a liter each or whatever. We're a little bit drunk. We're chilling. I see someone out the side of the car. Blacked out. Head to toe black. I said, Tristan, you see that? But it's black out anyway. He's like, what's that? I said, who the fuck is this? We're driving down this bumpy road. Tristan's looking out the window and there's another dude. Blacked. I mean, black balaclava, black ski mask, black jumpsuit, black head to toe. I was like, what the fuck? At this point, me and him are drunk. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. We're on the border of Ukraine. We have no idea where. Staring at our windows, and we start seeing all these guys dressed in complete fucking black. And Tristan's like, okay. So we say to the rally driver, where are we? He goes, Ukraine. We're like, where in Ukraine? Now, I had a friend who once got robbed in Ukraine. He got into the back of a taxi, and the taxi driver was driving. The taxi driver stopped. 2 guys got in each side of him while he was in the back, both with knives, put the knives to him and robbed him. So I thought, okay, so we're about to get fucking robbed. So I said to the rally driver, I said, my friend, you better fucking hope I get home. He's like, what? I said, you better fucking hope I get home alive. I'm not the kind of guy you want to fuck with. Even if you kill me, you better hope I get home alive. So I start threatening the taxi driver. I'm making it clear. I ain't dying easy. If I die, I'm taking you with me, you fucking loser. I thought he was about to set me up. Anyway, all of a sudden, car stops. Get out of the car, get out of the car. You hear all these people getting out of the car. Me and Tristan look at each other like, for fuck's sake. Like, we should have known better. This is Ukraine. Shit's about to go down. So to get out the car, the people who are dressed head to toe in black, turns out are Russian soldiers. All Russian soldiers. Now, I'm going to give you all a quick geography lesson because I didn't know any of this geography up until this event, which I researched post. So here's the geography lesson. When the USSR fell in the early 1990s, Moldova was being established as a country. There's part of Moldova that wanted to remain pro-Russian. Moldova is like half Romania, half Russia. Half the people speak Romanian, half the people speak Russian. It was all part of the USSR, meaning it spoke Russian. When the USSR fell, the Romanians gained influence, and all the Russian population were afraid that when the country officially changes to a Romanian-speaking government, they're going to steal all the money, which is exactly what they did, because it's a corrupt country. So the Russians wanted to remain part of Russia, so civil war kicked off. And to this day, even though this war was in 1992, there's an area of Moldova called Transnistria, which wants to be part of Russia, which isn't part of Russia, like a Crimea, breakaway micronation. It's about 20 or 30 kilometers in length. Tiny little dot on the map, which I'd never fucking heard of up until this point. So me and my brother got out the car, Russian soldiers from head to toe, blacked out. And not just soldiers, not like you imagine a soldier with like a green thing on and a gun. Special forces, blacked out. And the reason they were there is because all the Crimea warship was just going down at this time. The Crimea Peninsula and all this crap. And in fact, I read it when I was researching posts that the European Union was concerned that the next place Russia would annex would be Transnistria because they had such a pro-Russian mindset. So the Russian government has kept a military presence there since 1992, and it was fucking loaded with Russian soldiers. We just got the car with our hands up. They got guns pointed at us. We're like, yeah, what? Who the fuck are you? Like, this is more than just a routine robbery. They even had our Mr. fucking rally driver at gunpoint. So we're all at gunpoint. They take us, arrest us, march us, sit us down in this room. And they're like, who? Firstly, they start talking to us in Russian. It's like, my friend, we don't speak Russian. It was a good 10-minute conversation with them yelling at us in Russian and us saying we don't speak Russian until they finally agreed to find someone who spoke English. I don't think they even believed we didn't speak Russian. I think they were sure we spoke Russian before they finally conceded. Left the room, these two big fucking guys, and got some other fucking huge dude to come and sit down with his broken-ass English. And he said, what are you doing here? I said, what am I doing where? I'm trying to go back to Romania. He said, where did you come from? I said, the Eurovision Song Contest. So what the fuck else? Now, a lot of times people have looked at me like I'm a dickhead in my life, but the biggest, the most important event in my life, or the time I was looked at like the biggest dickhead ever, was this Russian soldier looking at me and my brother, 3 o'clock in the morning in the middle of a fucking micronation war zone, and I said I'd been there. I'm there because of the Eurovision Song Contest. He looked at me, he's like, this guy's either the biggest idiot I've ever met or a brave motherfucker. Anyway, by completely terrible coincidence, my brother and I were wearing black. We had black t-shirts on. I had black jeans. He had black jogging bottoms on. He said, why are you dressed in black? I said, I don't know, man. We just got a taxi from Ukraine. We're trying to go back to Romania. He goes, you're impersonating soldiers. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. You're pretending you come from Eurovision. You're dressed in black. What are you doing here? So they accused us of being American spies. We're like, we're not spies. We just want to go back to Romania. So we're sitting there in the interview room. They come in. Now, let me tell you one thing that did actually cross my mind, because I'm a combatant individual. That's what I do. That's what I did for a living. So it always crosses my mind to fight. It always crosses my mind thinking, okay, this situation's pretty bad. Can I fight my way out of this? There's two guys in the room with me, both armed. They're both big guys, but I could probably take them hand to hand because it's close combat. But once I get out, there's fucking like 30 guys. They had attack dogs, Rottweilers, the whole fucking lot. So there's no way I can fight my way out of this. All I can do is try and like go along with the fucking process. They bring our suitcases out the car. They pour all our shit on the floor. The dogs start going through our suitcases. These guys start ruffling through our stuff. They search me and Tristan. We had to take our t-shirt off, take our jeans off. We're standing there in our fucking underwear, handcuffed in a fucking little booth. I'm going to try and Google and find a picture of the exact spot so you can see it. A little booth in Transnistria being accused of being American spies. We have American and British passports. At 3 o'clock in the morning, we're in a micronation breakaway. I was desperate to get on my phone. The reason for this is I just actually met Donald Trump Jr. about a month or a month and a half before this. So I have him on WhatsApp. He's my boy. And I've got two or three very important Romanian politicians, high level, like Secretary of State, etc., on WhatsApp. So I thought, if I can just get to my WhatsApp and just send some messages. The Russian, they're going to want to kill me. I mean, they're going to keep me for a while. This might go on a few weeks. Let me just get on WhatsApp and speak to some important people and try and get the fuck out of here. So I was saying, look, guys, just give me my phone. I've got a guy in Romania who can speak Romanian and Russian, and you can talk to him, and he'll explain to you that I'm not a spy. I'm just a fucking idiot who went to a shitty song contest and got in the wrong taxi. My taxi driver, Mr. Moron, decided to drive through a fucking war zone. I didn't know. I didn't know this was still technically a war. I had no fucking idea. I look at the rally guy who was kept separate to me and T. I kept looking out the window, and the rally guy was still out on the gravel road. So I should have known not to trust a 12-year-old. He's standing outside with a gun pointed at his head, fucking wet in his pants. Me and Tristan are sitting there, arrested in our underwear, handcuffed, saying, look, we're not spies, we're not spies. Why are you dressed like soldiers? We're not spies. Anyway, I sat and said to the guy, I said, look,
let me get my phone. I'll make some phone calls. This will go away. He says, you're not going to touch your phone for a very long time. I said, my friend. He said, don't call me your friend. I said, fine. I'm not a spy. I'm an idiot. Just take the money that's in my bag and let me go. And this is what I love about corrupt countries. He didn't say yes or no. He spoke to turn to his friend and said something in Russian. Da, 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 da. They spoke in Russian for a few seconds, and I can guess what he said. He said, count how much money's in his bag. They went in my bag, and they started going through my bag looking for money. And they went through it, and they found about 7,000 American dollars. And they sat there, and he goes, I never... Instantly, there was no pretending that they weren't going to do it. They found the 7,000. It was actually quite nice of them, because they could have just took it and kept me, to be fair. But I guess, you know, they were men of honor. He goes, okay, here's the deal. I never want to see you again. I was like, trust me, my friend, I guarantee you're never going to see me again. They took the 7,000, they let us put our clothes back on, they loaded us back in the taxi with the dork, and they escorted us out with one of those fucking Humvee trucks with guns pointed us the entire time straight out to that fucking Tiraspol or wherever we were. So what's the moral of this story? The moral of this story is quite a few morals. One, don't take the train from Chisinau to Kiev if you want to live. Two, don't take taxis from Kiev to anywhere if you want to live. Don't go to war zone. Stay out of that part of the world. This is a part of the world that no one goes to. I live in a part of the world that basically no one goes to. And then I go a little bit further to the area where literally nobody goes. No one speaks English. There's no big Americans there. I live here because I make money here. But really, it's a crazy part of the world. The reason I'm telling this story is because me and my brother and I are due to go back there in 2 days. We tried to avoid going, but a friend of ours invited us. He said, look, we got some work there. We got some business there. You're going to make some money. On top of that, there's a miniskirt competition. I mean, come on. Who doesn't want to go to a miniskirt competition in a war zone? Like, what the fuck? Like, there's a whole bunch of beautiful-ass women who can't escape, and they're like, miniskirt competitions. It's a crazy place. No one goes there. Nobody goes here. I've given all of you a geography lesson. None of you have heard of this place, for sure. And now you're all on Google, like, what the fuck? So anyway, I'm going there in 2 days' time. Hopefully, I don't run into my friend, the border guard. This time, I've actually got a visa. I've seen my boys in Romania. I've got a high-level visa, Romanian visa, saying, look, he's a diplomat, he's allowed to come, blah, blah, blah. So hopefully, they'll let me in and out with ease. But, subscribe, because everything that goes down while I'm there in a couple days' time is going to end up on the YouTube channel. That's exclusive, so you have to be subscription, otherwise you're not going to get it. Subscribe for that, and if you want any more details on this amazing story, like I said, watch the Hateful Tate series, and you'll see everything that went down.